I started thinking about what I was going to eat for dinner at about 10 a.m. this morning. And because of this next guest, I've been thinking all day about pasta. If you're a pasta-making expert, we want to hear from all your tips and tricks this afternoon. 0437 774774. You can give us a call. 1300 222 774. Kind of want to sit back into this song. This is really great. Look, our resident food writer, eater, oh, and traveller of eating, also a cook, Danny Valent. Welcome this afternoon.
Thanks, Jacinta. Well, I always start thinking about dinner at 10 a.m., so yeah, that's my life.
But it's pretty evocative, isn't it, dinner? Like, I think about
definitely.
It a lot.
Like, it's good to have something to look forward to, right? And then after dinner, you can look forward to breakfast, so that's good too.
Do you look forward to breakfast? What are you doing for breakfast?
Sometimes I go to sleep and I'm so excited to wake up and have breakfast, yes.
What are you cooking to be excited?
When am I cooking?
No,
what do I have for breakfast?
Yeah, that makes
usually,
you think about it.
You know what? Usually I just have muesli and yogurt and fruit. It's not that exciting, but I'm just into it. I'm just into every meal.
I have
plus
to
the snacks.
I have to admit, I have just really plain porridge, and I don't know why, but I really get excited about making it.
Yeah.
Sitting down, just thinking I'm pretty cool because I don't need any of the adornments.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's good to be minimal, and porridge is a good thing.
Absolutely. Okay, so you've been thinking about it since 10 a.m. What are you cooking tonight? And it better be pasta because that's what we're talking about.
It's going to have to be pasta, isn't it? So, yes, if I was to do the right thing by this segment, I would be planning to go home, make some fresh pasta.
Really?
Like hand pound some pesto. To be honest, I'm definitely a 5 o'clock scramble kind of mum, so who quite knows, but I know there's some stuff in the fridge I can throw together.
Now, your relationship with pasta, is it deep?
Deep and long and very passionate. So when we started talking about or thinking about pasta for today, I did recall a couple of special moments with pasta that I had on a trip to Italy not that long ago. And the first one was...
You are really deep, aren't you? Special moments that you've had with pasta.
Sorry, is that just me? Doesn't everyone have those? So the first one was in Piedmont where I was staying at an agriturismo, so a little farm, and they hosted weddings there, and there was a beautiful kitchen with a couple of amazing women cooking there, and they trusted me to help them make the pasta for a wedding party.
Oh, how? Why?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good question.
Did you talk a big game before you got invited?
I was just interested. I'm always nosing my way into kitchens and just, you know, I love seeing what's going on behind the scenes.
Hey, I'm a writer, travel writer, book writer. Like, I eat.
Like in exactly that voice.
I can help you with your pasta here. Any of that?
Look, I felt very much in the hands of experts and very humble and absolutely terrified to be making pasta for such an important occasion. And they've supervised me very closely as well, they should have. But, look, just to watch people with their deft fingers doing something that they've done for decades was an absolute privilege. And I've put a photo on my Instagram of me making the agnolotti, which is traditional in that part of northern Italy. So you can check that out at Danny Valent if you like. But you'll see me smiling, but there was quite a lot of terror behind that smile.
Because it's a high-pressure game. We're not joking here. If you are a great pasta maker and you've been doing it for generations and Danny Valent walks in, you know, you've got to be able to bring it, don't you?
Oh, I don't put myself in any special category, but I'm a definite appreciator of well-made pasta. And I think, you know, it's one of those foods that when you ask someone, well, how do you make it? It's like, well, you just do it right. You know, how much salt do you put in the water? Just enough salt. You know, what should it feel like? It should feel right. So it's one of those things that's touch and feel and, you know, many hours spent next to Nonna just getting it right. Just, that feel, which is so important to some of these really important and precise techniques that you can't really put in a recipe. You just have to know when it's right.
Is that where we maybe falter with this as well? Because simply it's flour, it's water. I don't even know what else is in it because I've never made it.
Yeah, an egg yolk here and there, a bit of salt.
Yep. You know, you think, that can be done. Is it a lack of humility to the immensity of this that we sometimes don't make good pasta?
Look, I think that's a great question, and it gets to the core of a relationship that a lot of people have with food and cooking, which is one of, you know, fear and uncertainty and relating to a recipe rather than to the ingredients that are before you. And I think with, you know, you think about flour, well, flour should just be flour, but it's not. There are lots of different types of flour that will hold different types of water and respond differently. But, you know, there's also, you know, the same packet of flour, you know, those 6 months later will be perhaps drier than it was before. So it'll hold more water. So I think people are often like, but it said 500 grams. And then, but they're staring at a crumbly mess. So really it's about knowing what you're looking for, getting that feel right, and just experimenting and not being afraid to make a mess. It'll still probably turn out delicious, or at least edible.
Oh, look, we'd love to hear from you as well. 1-300-222-774. I know there are some expert pasta makers out there, or just people who are pasta passionate, because that's a category as well. I'm in that category. Pasta passionate. I have no skills to pay any bills. There's a lot of, and I love it, there's so much beautiful etiquette and ritual around pasta as well, isn't there? When you think about it, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and there's a lot of, I guess, rich stories. And which brings me to the other little anecdote I wanted to share about my time in Italy. When I went to Osteria Francescana, a super fancy restaurant in Modena, a little bit further east in Italy, and there Massimo Bottura, a very famous Italian chef, makes a dish called the crunchy part of the lasagna.
That's my specialty.
You know the best bit of the lasagna is that slightly burnt bit in the corner.
My whole lasagna features that strongly.
You're probably like better than the best chef in the world because you do it all the way through. So he does a dish that's just heroes that burnt corner of the lasagna. And I think what that sort of tells us is about, to me, gets us right into that moment of that cheeky kid sneaking that burnt corner. Everybody, the brothers elbowing each other out of the way so they can all get to that bit. So I love the fact that pasta goes high and low. We find it in, humble homes. Just dressed with olive oil and salt, and we find it in the great restaurants around the world.
We're getting some great feedback on Facebook. I'm a little frightened to read this out because my Italian is non-existent, but Maria says her favourite pasta dish is alfieri, ricolini, I don't know.
Don't look at me.
Nero de sepia, and it's charcoal-infused tomato succo in basil and garlic.
Yum. I mean, yes, this is going to be a really hard next 20 minutes before I can get a bowl of pasta into me. What I love about that, we've got those really classic ingredients, the tomato, the garlic, was it garlic and basil?
Yes.
Just beautiful classic ingredients, but done in it with a little bit of a twist. I love
that.
And
I think the lovely Lisa Pellegrino, who has some deep understanding about what I just read because she understands it better than I do, says the pasta is also black.
Yeah, right. So it might be dyed. So it's charcoal. We've got charcoal mixed in there. I mean, sometimes people dye spaghetti black with squid ink, so that's another way of getting that deep colour. But I think, the sense that we're getting is that there's really a sort of humble ingredients but techniques have been passed down through generations to create something very special out of something very simple.
Now, we do think of nonno and nonna when we think of pasta. Is that, did it originate, where did it begin?
Well, no one really knows because
we're
going back to the dawn of civilization. So most people would suggest that pasta or noodles were apparent in Asia before they found their way to Europe. But I think recent research suggests that that noodles developed independently in both continents. So there's a bit of a myth that Marco Polo went over to China and brought back some noodles and suddenly everyone was eating spaghetti. That's not the case. So definitely there were cases of noodle spotting in Europe before Marco Polo went across to Asia. So, current wisdom suggests that it was developed independently.
And the noodle and the pasta, they're cousins?
Yeah, they're fond cousins. So different types of wheat were there in China than you found in Europe. But of course, pasta is, there's forms of pasta through the Middle East as well. So in Turkey, you find different types of pasta. So I think basically we can say we all own pasta and we are all allowed to love it.
What about shapes of pasta? That's something that's really, it's fun in my household because nothing better than getting a bit of shell pasta, when you could be eating regular spaghetti or something.
Yeah, I know. And the names are so resonant. So one of my favourites is orecchietti, which is little ears, which I just think that's so cute. Now, my pronunciation is going to be problematic, but cocciole is snails. So if you think of a sort of fat tube of pasta that's then got a bit of a kink in it to make it into a little snail shape. So that's a very cute one. I also love some that are very descriptive of an action taken. So there's one that's called strepa e cacciala, which is tear and throw. So that's just like a really rough pasta that's probably usually thrown into soup, but you can also toss it with a sauce.
So is it just aesthetic and fun to have something that looks like a snail, or is that a textural aspect of how pasta is good because it's doing certain things with the sauce?
Yeah, definitely. There are good and bad pastas. There's not hard and fast rules.
Hey, I think you need to be a little less judgmental.
Okay. Let me reel it back a bit.
Broaden.
Yeah. Look, you can do whatever you want, but to put a very chunky ragu with a delicate pasta, probably not going to do either of those elements the favour. So let's say angel hair, a very thin spaghetti, beautiful to have those delicate strands sort of paddling in a soup, in a broth, something like that. But they're not going to support, you know, big chunky lamb ragu. So it's you know, and the tubes, you know, we can have a sauce that's going to cling to those. Often they'll have ridges in them, so they're just perfect for hanging onto sauce. And while we're talking about that, when we say the words clinging onto, we are talking about a judicious amount of sauce for the pasta. So I think often we want to just drown it? No, just let it coat it.
Really?
I know, it's hard to be restrained. But
it is really hard to be restrained. Kylie from Parap Parap, it joins us on the line. Are you restrained with your pasta?
I've missed some of the conversation, so I'm not quite sure what your question
is. Don't even worry. Just don't even worry. What is your pasta joy?
All pastas, my pasta joy, but it has to be homemade. I have memories of making gnocchi, potato gnocchi. My older sister used to date an Italian boy, and we'd go to his parents' place and make pumpkin gnocchi on potato gnocchi on their kitchen table. And my son, my youngest son, is now, they do cooking every Friday at the school. He goes to Freshwater Creek Steiner School. And he came home a few months back with a pumpkin gnocchi recipe that we had to make that night.
Yum.
And my question to you, we've made it a few times, but I noticed that we've used self-raising flour. In the classroom, they use self-raising flour and plain flour. And one of the mums and myself commented on the different texture, and we couldn't quite decide which one was the plain floured gnocchi and which was the self-raising floured gnocchi. But one of them was a lot heavier and the other one was a lot lighter.
Wow. Using self-raising flour is definitely not traditional. So it's an interesting one. Gnocchi is normally made with plain flour, but I think the texture possibly may have more to do with the way that it's handled. You want a very light touch for gnocchi, as you probably know. So it's about letting you only need it as much as you need to for it to hold together and no further. You definitely don't squish it like you might with bread.
But when you're dealing with a whole class of class three children.
Yeah, there probably is a bit of squishing going on.
And also the self-raising was brought in because there was a shortage and we kind of went, what are we going to do? So we threw some self-raising flour in as well.
That's the best things happen though, aren't
improvisation.
They?
Improvisation. Yeah, perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
God, I'm so hungry. Thank you, Kylie, very much for ringing us and discussing your pumpkin gnocchi. For someone like me who doesn't know anything, where should I start? What should be my – is gnocchi the way to begin your pasta-making career?
Look, gnocchi is very different from pasta with flour-based pasta. So it's mostly potato. So it's really a different category. I've been making a lot of gnocchi recently, and so I'm on a bit of a gnocchi jag. Why? Because I just wanted to come up with a really good recipe. I've nailed it. Let's just, don't tell Nonna, but I've nailed it.
Danny Vallant, is there any way that we can prove that you have?
Come over. I definitely have to leave the studio and go straight home and make some.
What have you done? What's the secret?
Look, it is just that light touch. So it's just you want to start with a dry potato. So I've been using Desiree because it's a dry potato and it's very accessible. So lots of people will say, you have to use this one, you have to use that one. But Desiree is everywhere and it works fine. It's about not getting those potatoes waterlogged. So I've been steaming them so that they don't hold too much water. Because if they've got more moisture they've got in them, you need more flour to turn it into a dough. Mm. And the more flour, the more gluggy. So it's all about the least possible amount of flour.
Do we trust our potatoes throughout the season? Are there optimum time for gnocchi making, depending on our taties?
To be honest, they are available year round.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so we can have them anytime we want.
So I should knocky, knocky, knocky my way.
Knock, knock, knock on heaven's door.
Yeah, through into, that should be my pasta entry. Or Are you going to ask me to go home and put it through the thing that you got to turn and it comes out?
I'm going to ask you to do that.
Where am I going to get that from?
The pasta machine?
Yeah.
Look, you can do it with a rolling pin, but you'll be there for a little longer. But pasta's been made long before there were pasta machines. So it's about getting that beautiful,
supple. Don't tell me that. I haven't got 14 hours to do it, though.
It doesn't take that long. You don't have to make that much. So really, just a few hundred grams of flour.
Okay.
And just, you know, just do it. And if you want a pasta machine, if you want to go next level, like probably one of your neighbours has got one if you don't, because there's a lot of pasta machines sitting in the back of a lot of cupboards.
This is what I'm saying.
A lot of people say, I think I've got one because they haven't seen it for a long time. But yeah, everyone, get it out. I mean, they're only like $40. So if you want to get serious, then you can invest in one and keep it at the front of the cupboard, not the back.
Okay, before we let you go, Danny Vallant, what is your absolute favourite pasta dish?
Okay, pasta for me is a comfort food. So I think this, and it is one of those dishes that people talk about this, when it's the simplest, it's the best. So for me, it's cacio e pepe, so spaghetti with cheese and pepper.
Oh, that so, what cheese though?
Parmigiano Reggiano would be the classic, but Grana Padano is good. So any of those hard cheeses and just a lot of freshly ground black pepper.
It's so funny. I feel like I'm being naughty asking you to it's like so exciting.
Tell me more about the pepper. Tell me about the cheese.
More cheese and more pepper, but not too much. Let the pasta shine through.
Look, and before I let you go, I'm so sorry, but we have a really important question from Sarah, and we can't let you go before Sarah asks you this question. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi. I love gnocchi, but I've never been able to make it successfully. Do you use egg or no egg?
Oh, my goodness. You have hit on a very controversial question. I use an egg yolk. So some nonnas say it's okay and some nonnas say it's forbidden. But I think an egg yolk gives you a little bit more certainty with your dough. So for the beginning gnocchi maker, it is definitely a surer path to successful gnocchi.
Oh, great. I'll give it a go. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And for all of us, we need more surety with our dough. Thank you, Danny Vallant, for providing that for us.
Such a pleasure.
We get on and find out about your life. How?
DannyVallant.com. It's all there.
We're going to read it, we're going to know it, and then we're going to suss out that gnocchi. Thank you so much for joining us this
afternoon. It's a pleasure.